Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway on Thursday, October 21st. The third Thursday of the month means it's Master Gardener Day with Dr. Deborah Lee from Four Winds Farm. She is here today, and of course, this show and every show brought to you by Hillbean Auto Body. If it happens to you, take it to Hillbean. Welcome, Dr. Lee.
Good morning.
You have been busy Four Winds Farm and with all of your educational and nutritional teaching, and it's kind of time now to maybe slow down a little bit, put our gardens to bed, and get ready for bulb season.
Yes.
It's time to start thinking about the bulbs we want to plant pretty soon, so that we'll have that beautiful pop-up in the spring.
Yes, yes. And ordinarily, probably this time of the month would be good, but it's been so warm. I think it's a little bit better to wait until November.
Today is our first average frost day in our area. This is usually about the time we have the first frost. Now, it's cooler, but that warmth from the moisture, you know, we've had such warm temperatures, above average temperatures. It's going to take a while for frost, I think.
Right. So I thought we'd talk about a couple of bulbs that I thought would be helpful to know some more information about.
Okay.
Planting them. So one is tulip bulbs. A lot of times people have trouble with tulip bulbs because of those darn squirrels. The squirrels will get up there, get in and dig up the tulip bulbs. So sometimes people put like some kind of a little netting, like a little wire netting across the top. But one thing, if you plant daffodil bulbs around the tulip bulbs, it protects them. It doesn't work all the time, but if you just can get enough of them around. And whenever you're planting bulbs, it's nice to do things in threes or fives or sevens and do them kind of artistically.
Okay, so the daffodil bulb is repulsive to the squirrel.
Yes.
So if you put the tulip bulb in the middle,
right,
it's got this little defender of daffodil, this little daffodil ring,
right,
to defend it.
And so instead of just one tulip bulb, maybe you can put in five or seven or, you know, kind of a cluster of them and then have your daffodils around the outside of that. And if you're going to do quite a few of them, just kind of repeat that pattern. They bloom at a bit of a different time, a little bit different time, and you'll have a lovely display. And hopefully that'll last for quite a few years.
And that's part of the timing of these bulbs, when they first emerge and how you can keep continuous bloom. Depending on, I guess, well, do daffodils come up first? Crocus, I guess, come up first.
You know, I can't remember. I think it's tulips that come up first. Yeah,
really?
The little tiny short ones are crocuses and some of those. But I think it's tulips a little bit earlier before daffodils. Now, somebody can call in and tell me, no, that's not right. I could, because even though I did some of this around my tulips, I still have trouble with them coming up. So I don't have as many tulips. I have a lot of daffodils.
And so the wire mesh, is that also something that can be done? And you take it off, obviously, in the spring,
right,
when it starts to emerge.
Right, you take it off pretty early in the spring. Mm-hmm.
Those darn squirrels. Is there no other natural repellent? I mean, obviously, the daffodil bulb is a natural repellent, but is there nothing we can spray on there? Like, isn't there like artificial fox urine or something that is a predator?
I'm not sure. You know, I'd have to research it. I haven't thought about
that. But I know that Kathy Carpenter, our last master gardener, and you.
Kathy the Great.
Kathy the Great, yes. You have to come after Kathy the Great. But she was very interested in trying to use as much natural stuff and stuff that wouldn't harm children, dogs.
Right.
You know, because you put down anti-squirrel stuff, well, that's a mammal. Mm-hmm. That's going to kill almost any mammal.
Right.
So you've got to be real careful about saying, I want to get rid of those pesky squirrels, because what you've got to remember is those pesky squirrels share a genome with a lot of other things that you don't want to get rid of, and you
That's
can't guarantee
excellent
who's going to eat that bait or who's going to drag that bait in and get it on their fur or whatever and have a
reaction. That's a good reason to put some kind of a mesh. I'm thinking something that's maybe like an inch, half an inch or something like that.
Something pretty small so that they
can't get in there.
Get down and burrow in. So pesky squirrels can really harm the bulbs. What other kind of bulb activities do we need?
Well, last year I planted allium, and I'd never done that before. And I kind of wanted to for a few years, and I just hadn't thought about it. And so one of our stores, the big box stores that we have in town, had some really good ones. And I think all of the different stores will. And they were delightful. I got maybe, I probably got about 60 of them, so I went full force. And they got to be some of them 3 feet tall, and they just bloomed and bloomed and bloomed. And even afterwards, and they came up a little bit later, after the daffodils and the tulips, even then they kept this structure, like the flower petals had fallen off, but it was sort of like a Christmas tree ornament, and they were different heights. And I would really encourage people to use those, and ideally those are going to come up again this year. I'm really hoping that they will. And that whole allium family with the garlic and the onions are pretty hardy. So I think that would be something that would be interesting to
okay.
do.
So you'll see how you do with the second year, because bulbs are supposed mm-hmm. to come back. Now,
right.
when...
And duplicate in this
And
case.
Duplicate. Okay, so when is the best time to plant these bulbs? Here it is, October 21st. Are we talking about pre-Thanksgiving, or does it really matter? The ground has to be... You have to have first frost.
It's better, but because you don't want it to confuse the bulbs and have them think it's spring right away. So it's better. I like to wait a little bit longer. That's because I'm busy doing other things probably. But I think it's better a little bit closer to Thanksgiving around that time. You can do it if it's warm enough in December. You can do it then, but you want to be sure you get them in before the ground freezes and
okay.
put them
before
in.
You can't. Dig down there right. before it's really frozen. And then what do we fertilize them with when we put them in there? Because the bulb has stuff to help it grow, but it would be nice, I'm sure, if we add a little bit extra. Is that root stimulator? What is that we put in there?
I don't usually do that, but in the spring, then you can add like a little Miracle-Gro or something else, that's some kind of organic fertilizer for it. In the fall, I mean, you want it to just lay dormant.
Yeah, so you don't want to feed it, because then it'll say, oh, I've got all this energy, I'm going to start pushing forth some kind of root and maybe a stem, especially if
it
we have a weirdo
it.
Day, like in
right.
December sometimes, it'll get up to 60 degrees,
and then
the
it might
tulip
it.
Or the bulb, whatever, might think it's time to come out, and you don't want that.
Speaking of that, I want to just say a little something that I try to say every year about fall trimming back of things. Because it's nice to just go in the end of October or so and just trim everything all the way back. But that's not necessarily the case. Because once you trim off some trees and shrubs and things like that, it stimulates their ability to grow more limbs and leaves. And so if you do that, like now if you're cutting everything back and there's a little bit of warm weather, they're going to sprout out. I had that problem with my sage, I remember. I was just trying to clean everything up. I like to clean things up in the fall. But also with different kind of shrubs, then you might be stimulating that to start to grow, and then it freezes, and then you've killed your shrub, and you don't realize why. Butterfly bushes and other things like that.
So wait till it's really, really, really cold.
If you're going to trim back, you kind of need to do a little research, because the different shrubs each have their own way in the trees. Like lilacs, you want to trim those after they bloom, right after they bloom. So you don't want to be doing that throughout the year.
Oh, if you do it before, if you do it now, you won't get a bloom.
You won't get a bloom.
I mean, the lilac will be gone.
Right.
I mean,
so you need to do a little bit of research on when to trim. Usually January, February is sometimes a good time to get out and do some trimming.
We have a dwarf Japanese cutleaf maple.
Ah.
And of course it's critical that we keep it to a certain height, and it is dwarf, but I don't want it to rise above where it impedes my looking out my front window. I want it to be pretty, but I want it to maintain a certain height. Well, the height issue we've kind of got under control, but it's starting to get awfully fat. In other words, it's really spreading its canopy. So now that its leaves are mostly gone, I think a good wait till it gets really cold. We're just going to go in and really trim that and get the edges out, because I don't want it over the sidewalk and starting to interfere with other plants.
Right.
So something like that you can be a little bit more severe with. It's an older tree. It's got a well-developed root system. I don't have to worry too much, because we haven't done it in a couple of years. And
I'd
we were doing it every year, and that was taking just a little bit off. Now we're going to have to be more aggressive.
Yeah, I still do a little research. So the U of I Extension website has an incredible amount of information on anything you want to know about horticulture. But also, we can just Google things now.
Yeah.
And I love to do that.
How
it's
do
so
you
easy.
Care for a Japanese cutleaf dwarf maple?
But yeah. I don't necessarily pick the first one. You know, I'll look to see what the source is, if they know, and then do a little bit more of information. But before we just get out there and trim, it is good to know what we're doing.
Know what you're doing, because if you trim too much, you could damage it, you could kill it. Mm-hmm. If you leave open wounds, you know, which you are leaving an open wound, it's just like getting a cut on your finger. If you cut off a nodule, it's an open wound for a while. So be very, very careful about pruning and cutting back. But, of course, it must be done. If you let it go 2, 3, 4 years and don't do it, now you're even worse off. We're going to take a break. When we come back, our conversation continues with Dr. Deborah Lee. And if you have a question, give us a call at 223-9300. It's 9:31, and our master gardener, Dr. Deborah Lee, is alongside. And we have a caller who's waited patiently to get in. Good morning. What's on your mind?
I have found a Boston fern at the dump. It's in pretty bad shape, but I wanted to rescue it. So how do I go about cleaning the dead leaves out of it and getting it to come back and look pretty?
Well, golly gee, what a heroine. Rescuing a Boston fern from a dump. Okay.
I love that. That's something that I would do, too. I think that's wonderful. So I'm trying to get a visual of it. The first thing that you probably need to do is either bring it inside, or right now it's still warm enough, but you need to get it in some good quality soil, so good potting soil of some kind, and then to give it a lot of moisture. I wouldn't fertilize it quite yet. I would just kind of see what's going on, and then you can trim back. You said that there's a lot of dead parts on it, right? The stems and leaves.
There's a lot of brown stuff all down in the bottom of it. I mean, it's got a lot of green on it, but it looks horrible. And I just wanted to know how to maybe clean that up or break it apart and repot it or something.
Well, I'm trying to get a visual, so that's, you know, I don't quite have that. But I wouldn't break it apart yet. I would just get in there and, you know, you might have to experiment a little bit with either scissors cutting it off, or it might be dead enough that you can kind of pull it out. And that'll be okay, but you want to get all the dead stuff off of it, and just giving it some moisture and some water is probably going to be a wonderful, wonderful start. And then if you have some kind of a fertilizer that you can put on there to get it to recharge. I've had this problem. We've had plants that throughout Four Winds Farm sometimes are off further away, and I look at them, they're all droopy, and half the leaves are dead, and I bring them closer in and just water them, and then it gets rained on, and they're so happy they come back.
Be careful about fertilization, though, because it's kind of in shock right now.
You've
rescued it from death.
So,
you just want to give it kind of chicken soup. You don't want to go to a full-course lobster meal. Yeah.
Yes, that's an excellent point.
And the other thing is, you know, get it in a good pot that you're going to keep it in the house. And
big
so,
enough.
Big enough. Yeah, make sure you go big, because once it starts to get your love and attention, it'll probably come back in full force.
I think it will. I think it'll come back nicely.
It looks like it was a beautiful plant at one time, and somebody, I don't know if they just got tired of it or just, you know, whatever happened, but I'm going to try to get it going.
Maybe somebody passed away and it was left neglected. You don't know, but I'm glad you saved it. So, now, you also need to mist the leaves, right? It needs to be in a very vaporous environment. It needs to have a lot of water vapor. So if you're going to keep it in your house, and if your house is not, you know, very humid, which houses shouldn't be very humid, you're going to have to mist it.
Yeah, you just get a little spray bottle. I have a fast story about that. When I bought my first fern, it was huge and gorgeous, and I was like 20-something, like 21 or so. And the clerk asked if I had a mister, and I blinked at her, and I said, no, I'm not married. Felt a little stupid. She said, oh, no, you have to miss the missing bottles. But I share that.
No wonder I never could keep a plant alive when I was single. I didn't have a mister. Thank you so much for your phone call. We appreciate that. That's good. Dr. Deb Lee with a great joke. I love it. So just true. People are going to be bringing in some outdoor plants. Be careful because the bugs will come in with it.
We want to talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, real quick, because we've only got about 3 minutes.
So just dig them up if you're going to bring them in, water them really well, leave them outside, and transition them in so you can look to see if there's any bugs or anything else. Right now we've had a lot of fungus growing, so be careful of that. If you're bringing something in, probably be better not to, depending on what it is, but we've had a lot of fungus with zinnias and other kind of plants.
And when you're going to go do your composting, remember, when you get rid of all this old stuff, that's good organic material, but if it's got the fungus on it, because my peony plant, I go ahead, maybe I shouldn't, but after it's done blooming, I just chop that thing off at the bottom. And I get rid of, I don't put anything, I segregate that because that is icky.
Right, because fungus can spread.
And I don't want to get it anywhere else, anywhere. So I make sure I entrap that, roll that up, and make sure that gets segregated so it doesn't get involved in, I don't even put it in, you know, like to go out to the compost because I wouldn't want to cause that problem for other people. I just throw it away in the trash.
Right, good point.
So
or burn it or something.
If you've got problems, don't compound them by spreading it all over.
And then zinnias was a particular problem. I think almost everybody had a lot of fungus on their, you know, that gray, fuzzy look on it. You don't want to plant your zinnias there next year because that will stay in the soil for a while.
Okay. So this is the time of year to start thinking about pruning, but make sure it's really cold. Let's get past the first frost.
Mm-hmm.
Get past the first real hard frost. Then you can plant your tulip bulbs and all your bulbs. They don't need to be fertilized. They just need a nice, deep, warm, you know, soil that they can go to rest in and sit there and over the next couple of months. Get everything pruned back that needs to be pruned back this time of year. But be careful with those flowering shrubs and trees, because if you prune them now, you're going to take the buds off. You're not going to have it, you know.
You could kill your
shrub.
Yeah.
So be careful. And just use some extra caution. And always refer to the University of Illinois or University of Missouri Extension
mm-hmm.
for any questions that you might have. And remember, even if you're single, you can have a Boston fern. You just have to get a mister.
Mister.
Thank you so very much. Dr. Deborah Lee.